Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 13. And we are going to unite together at the throne of grace in prayer. And let's seek the face of the Lord for his blessing. Our loving God and our gracious, loving Father, we thank thee for the opportunity of coming to thee afresh. We thank thee for thy precious word. O God, we thank thee for everyone who can say today that in our heart there rings a melody. We thank thee for the melody of love and joy and peace that there is in believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And our God, we'd ask that thou wouldst put thy hand upon us as we seek to look into thy word this evening. We pray for thy grace and thy blessing to be our portion tonight. Lord, just draw near. Thou dost know our hearts. Thou dost know the ways and the circumstances and the worries and the fears of each and every one that is here this evening. We pray that thou wouldst reach down by thy grace and power, and thou wouldst bless in the proclamation of thy truth. For it's in Jesus' precious name that I would ask these things. Amen. Amen. It'll not be long now until we come to the end of October and the season of Halloween with all its witchcraft and occult and all those different things. And Halloween, of course, is one of the high days of the witchcraft religion. In these days, we see an increasing turning of many people and a growth in interest in the occult. You go onto the high streets today and you find those shops that are selling crystals and incense, and there seems to be this heightened interest in the occult today. A few years ago, the Arkansas Baptist in the United States passed a resolution against witchcraft and sorcery, and the resolution said the Harry Potter book series and its subsequent materials are inconsistent with biblical morality and ethics and promotes pagan beliefs and practices. And then it went on, we will firmly denounce and speak out against any books or materials that promote witchcraft, sorcery, and the casting of spells, and specifically the Harry Potter book series and subsequent materials. And I would agree with what they said there. It's a dangerous thing indeed when you begin to turn away from the Bible and when a country begins to look into those hidden things, those mysterious things. And here the Apostle Paul and Barnabas are just starting out on their missionary journey, and they come to Paphos, which is the capital of Cyprus, the center of the worship of the goddess Aphrodite, a literal hotbed of paganism. And as they enter into this country, they come across this man who is called Elymas the sorcerer. The Roman governor of Paphos is a man named Sergius Paulus, and the Bible calls him a prudent man. He's a wise man. And as Paul preaches the word of God, he becomes interested in the gospel. And God begins to work in his heart, and he is considering becoming a Christian. But this pagan here, this man, Elymas the sorcerer, tried to turn him away from the truth and tried to pervert the gospel and turn this man away from eternal life and from the things of God. And when he did that, we read in verse 10 how Paul looks at him and he says, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of God? And when Paul encountered this opposition to the words of God, he denounced it with all his being. He recognized it as satanic, and he denounced it. And there's a great deal of paganism and sorcery around us. I think sometimes more than we understand. There are several cases of awful things that have happened which the police suspect are to do with ritual slaughters and with this kind of paganism. There's a local case of the death of a 10-year-old, Brian McDermott, who disappeared in a playground in Ormo Park, South Belfast, on September the 2nd, 1973. And his badly mutilated torso and arm were recovered in the River Lagan a week later. 30 years after that, in 2001, detectives appealed for information in the case, and they specifically said that they did not rule out witchcraft in that case. I remember being told a few years ago of a woman, a nurse in the Erne Hospital in Enniskillen, and she was going round the ward. She saw a woman who seemed to be praying, and she was interested in this woman, and this nurse was a Christian, so she went over to the woman. She thought she was praying. She says, "I see you're praying. Are you a Christian?" She says, "No, I am not a Christian." She says, "I'm a witch, and I'm praying for the destruction of Christian families and Christian homes." And we see that this witchcraft, this sorcery, is all around us today and is more prevalent than perhaps we know. And so it is interesting to look at this case, this man Elymas the sorcerer. It's interesting to see how Paul deals with him, and it's interesting to see how the gospel won out over the desires of this sorcerer and this evil man. And those of you who are not saved this evening, I want you to see that the devil is a defeated foe, that while the devil is seeking to stop you from hearing the gospel, that thank God that gospel can get through, and the devil is seeking to stop you from hearing the gospel. We're going to see that in a few moments tonight. So for a few minutes at the end of our meeting, we just want to take a look at this man, Elymas the sorcerer. There are a number of things about him that I want you to see. The first thing I want you to see is his rebellion against God. Look at verse 6. It says, "Well, when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus." And it says that in verse 8, "But Elymas the sorcerer withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith." Now, I want you to see some things about this man here. Notice, first of all, that he is a Jew. And we see here that he is called a Jew. His name, his Jewish name is Bar-Jesus, which just means the son of Jesus. It means that he was the son of somebody called Jesus or Joshua. Where you have Bar in the Hebrew, that just means the son of somebody. He's also called a false prophet, and also he is called a sorcerer. He's a kind of a court magician. And he is obviously here an apostate Jew. And Luke very deliberately points out the fact that he was a Jew, because that would mean something, men and women, because that means that he was brought up in the Word of God. That means that he was brought up to know the Word of God. You see, in this day in which we live, very often we do not learn the Scriptures and we do not know the Scriptures the way that people centuries ago did. Even God's people do not know the Scriptures the way that people many years ago did. Indeed, I find it amazing that sometimes there are parents who resist the teaching of their children in the Scriptures, even though they are saved. Even saved parents will do that. But in days gone by, ordinary people, and never mind Christians, knew the Scriptures. And that was particularly true with the Jews. They were brought up in the Scriptures. In the time of the Lord Jesus 2,000 years ago, when a mother was nursing her little child, a Jewish child, she would whisper the Scriptures into its ears when it was, as it were, you would say, without understanding. She would whisper the Scriptures into the ears of the child. And then she would sing praises to the Lord, to the little child, day by day. And that was part of growing up. And then later on, the responsibility for bringing up the child would pass from the mother to the father. And the father would teach the child, the Jewish child, the creeds and the laws of Judaism and the Scriptures. And sometimes even they would teach these people, these young children, basic theology. That was the way that children were normally brought up in a Jewish household in the time of Christ and in the time of the writing of the Bibles. So that is something that we can see here about Bar-Jesus or Elymas the sorcerer here. He was a Jew. And that means that he was brought up in the law. Now that also means that if he was brought up in the law, he would have known the evil of sorcery. He would have known the evil of divination. He would have known the evil of the occult. He would have known that God's word forbids these things. Because in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verses 10 to 12, the Bible is very clear about this. It says, "There shall not be found among you Anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer, for all that do these things are abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. And we read that time and time again in 2 Kings chapter 17 and verse 17, when the children of Israel began to run after these things and the necromancers and the wizards and all. It says that they sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Now that is something that Elymas, being brought up as a Jew and being brought up in the feet of a Jew, would have known. His name here is Magus. He is like the magicians, the wise men of the East, the wise men that came to know, to find the Lord Jesus. They are magi, but here it is used in an evil connotation. It speaks of him in the evil sense. He was trained in the mysteries of the occult. Sometimes these men dealt in drugs. If you think that the drug problem is a modern problem, you can think again. They were drug dealers and drug users, and they dealt in all sorts of drugs, and sometimes that's what it means in the New Testament. When it speaks about this sorcery, it speaks of drug use. And we see that this man had obviously rebelled against God. He knew what was right. He would have been brought up to know these things. But he rebelled against the word of God. He thought nothing of God. He thought nothing of his word. He had turned away from these things, and he had turned to his own way and to his own thoughts, and had completely turned around away from the word of God. And I'm no need to tell you, men and women, that it's never a good thing to rebel against God. The Bible says in Isaiah 66 and verse 2, "But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word." Well, God is looking for those that tremble at his word. Not to those that reject his word. Not to those that dispense with the word. Not to those that reject the word. Not to those that think that God's word is just something that is another opinion that they can take or leave. Now, there are so many that do that in this day and generation. And maybe you are like Elymas today. You know God's word. You know what is right and you know what is sinful. You were sent along to Sunday school and to a children's meeting. You were maybe even brought up with a godly father, a godly mother, a godly grandmother, a godly grandfather. And they sought to teach you the things of God and teach you in the word of God. As you go on in life, you remember those things and you remember your earliest days. But as you sit here this evening, you've turned your back upon that way. You're going away of your own devising. You're going away that is leading you away from God. And I've no need to tell you, men and women, that the end of that path is the path that goes down to a Christless eternity and to eternal destruction. And this man, we see, is rebellion against God. He knew what was right. He knew the way that he should take. But he just departed from it and turned his back upon the things of God. So we see Elymas the sorcerer. We notice his rebellion against God. But then I want you to notice something else. I want you to see his resistance of the truth. In verse 7 and 8 it says about Sergius Paulus, the governor. It says, "Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith." And these first Christian missionaries went out, Paul and Barnabas. They were preaching the word of God. They'd gone to Cyprus, which is Barnabas' home area, and a good place to start. They come across Sergius Paulus, the governor. He's called here a prudent man, a wise man. And he begins to listen to the word of God, and this Elymas comes in and he deliberately seeks to turn the deputy, the governor, away from the truth of God's precious word. So he's not only rebelling, Elymas, against the word of God, but he seeks to pervert and undermine the word of God. But I want you to see something, men and women, as we look at that tonight. I want you to see that it is the business of the devil to turn you away from the truth. The devil does not want you to hear the truth. Now, I want you to notice what Elymas is called in verse 10 when Paul speaks to him. He says, "Thou child of the devil." That's what he calls him. And he is a child of the devil. And the devil is real today. The devil is not in hell. People think that the devil's in hell. He's not in hell. The Bible says he's the prince of the power of the air. In Ephesians 2 and 2, he's in the air. He's all around us. Or, well, he's not all around us. He's there. He's a creature, but he is in. He is able to come and confuse us, and he roams about in the air. He's not like God, where God is everywhere. The devil is a creature. He can come and go wherever he is. The Bible says that he has his minions. And he has those that will stand up for him, and he can produce evil men like Elymas the sorcerer. In the last days it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." And the word seducers there refers actually to a class of magicians who chanted magical formulas in a strange guttural voice. That is the original meaning, the deep meaning of this thing. So it's not a bit wonder today that people are turning to the occult. You know, a few years ago, if you had told people that they would believe in all these strange things, feng shui and the crystals and incense and all these, people would have laughed at you. But now they are such a business that people can set up shops on nearly every big town, and they can sell. And there's a market for this. There's a literal explosion in this sorcery. And there is a growth in this demonism and satanic activity, and that will be so in the last days. Lord Jesus said, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Yes, the devil's alive today. The Bible calls him the God of this world. And what is his purpose? Well, one of his purposes is to turn you away from the faith. That's what Elymas was doing here. This child of the devil says, "But Elymas the sorcerer withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith." And men and women, I am preaching the word of God to you. But be sure of one thing, that there will be circumstances that will come around that will seek to divert you away from the word of God. There are those circumstances that will stop you coming onto the sound of God's word. You've come here this evening, but perhaps there'll be circumstances that will take you away from coming along to the meeting next Lord's Day or listening to the word of God. And be sure of this, the devil will send the circumstances and will send the ways by which you should be turned away from the truth. The Bible says that we're not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. And you know, the devil uses all sorts of devices to stop you from hearing the truth. He wants to stop you from having the eternal life and the peace and the joy that there is in Christ. It may be a relative that he uses. It may be a loved one. So often it is. A loved one, your parents, your mother, your father, your husband, your wife, and you are listening to them, and you're afraid that maybe if you became a Christian that there'd be a breakdown in your relationship in some degree and measure or other. But men, women, don't let others decide your soul's eternal welfare. Don't let others influence you. This is between you and God. This is your eternal welfare. Your eternal soul. And the devil will use others. Maybe a friend he might use. Why, there are so many that will come and they want their friends rather than they want the Lord. They want to have the good time here on earth. But men, women, what about eternity? We have only one life. It's soon passing away. The Bible says that it's just like the binding of a sheaf. It's like the falling of a leaf. It is just there and gone. It's like a vapor that appeareth for a little season and then vanishes away. What about eternity? Or maybe the devil will not use others. He'll just come into your mind and will attack your mind. And there are so many reasons that you can put up, and that Satan is very good at mental tricks. And he can't see you the way that God sees you, but he has enough experience to be able to detect your weakness. And he'll get you at your weakness. And he'll get you just right there in the mind. Ephesians 4 verse 18 speaks of the mind of men, that they have their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. And men, women, the old devil may speak to you, and you may have a feeling tonight that you don't want this way of salvation. There may be a feeling in your heart that you're going to reject God's way of salvation tonight. Why is that? Because your understanding is darkened. Don't listen to a darkened understanding. Your heart is blind tonight. It's leading you in the wrong direction. You're going the wrong way. You can't listen to your feelings. You can't listen to your heart when it's blinded by sin and blinded by Satan. The old devil will come tonight. And for sure he'll try to stop you. And that's what happened here with Elymas the sorcerer. He tried to stop the word of God. But thank God he didn't. Look at what it says in verse 12. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. And here was a man who, he's a prudent man, he watched Elymas the sorcerer. He listened to what he had to say. And then he listened to the apostles and the preaching of the gospel and the mighty power of God, which he saw with his own eyes. And we read that he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Despite all the efforts of the devil and Elymas the sorcerer to turn him away from the truth, he turned to Christ. And thank God tonight there is one who is able to save you. This man believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and he was saved. And that's what we want you to do. We want you to come to the Savior. We want you to come to the one who bore your sins in his own body on the tree. The one who loves you, the one who can cleanse you by his own precious blood. Oh, men and women, he can deliver you from that life of sin. He can deliver you from that life of hell. He can deliver you from the penalty of sin and from hell itself. And thank God he won the victory over sin and death and hell on the cross of Calvary. And there's a way tonight that is open in the house of David for sin and for uncleanness. And here we see Elymas' rebellion against God and his resistance of the truth. But thank God the truth won out. God brought the truth through and Sergius Paulus was saved. He was a prudent man indeed. I want to tell you tonight, if you're wise, you'll come to Christ. If you're prudent this evening, you'll listen to the word of God. Don't be listening to what the Bible, or what the devil rather, whispers in your ear. But you seek the Lord Jesus Christ, whom to know is life eternal. So we see Elymas' rebellion against God and his resistance of the truth. But one more thing that I want you to notice is that is his rebuke from the Lord. Look at verses 9 to 11. It says, then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. You see, Paul, by the power of the Holy Ghost here, sets his eyes upon him. And the word there means he gazed upon him. He looked through him. What a look that must have been, as he looked with the withering gaze of the power of God upon this man. And not only was there a withering gaze, but there were withering words. And Paul spoke very straightly to him. Didn't pull any punches when he spoke to this man. And you notice what Paul said to him. He spoke of his fullness here. He said that he was full of subtlety and all mischief. Now the word subtlety there is a word that means deceit or guile. It is also a word that speaks of sophistry. You know the kind of argument that uses all sorts of sophistry. He was coming with sophisticated arguments, in other words. He was coming not with just a blind rant against the gospel, but he was perhaps using the philosophy of that day. Perhaps he was coming with all sorts of reasons. And he was coming with wisdom of that day. And it was a sophisticated argument he was putting up. So there are many people who can come with all sorts of sophisticated arguments. They can bring all the evidence to try and turn you away from the truth. Not only does he use the word subtlety here, but he uses the word mischief. Now the word mischief is also a very interesting word. It means unscrupulousness. It also actually has a relationship to a meaning which means the ease of an effeminate life. Now, perhaps what Elymas was saying to Sergius Paulus was, if you get saved, you'll not have an easy life. If you get saved, what about the government? What about the people you serve? Now, they're not going to be very pleased with you becoming a Christian. And of course, the Christians were being persecuted in these days. And Bibby was telling Sergius Paulus, you know, it's not going to be easy for you if you become a Christian. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. And indeed, there's a certain amount of truth in that. You know, a half-truth is always a very difficult thing to overcome. But it was a lie. It was a lie. Paul says, this is all subtlety. It is sophistry. It is guile. It's deceit. Because men and women, while it may be in some degree and measure hard to be a Christian, you're hardly popular in this world. But thank God there's a peace and a joy that there is in believing that this world can never give. And it's an exceeding foolish thing to lie against the gospel. And this man came with sophisticated arguments, but they were a lie. There are people who will come to you with sophisticated arguments, but anything that speaks against the gospel, men and women, is a lie. He was full of subtlety and full of mischief. Not only do we see his fullness, but look at his father. He's described as a child of the devil. And of course, you're either a child of God or you're a child of the devil. You know, the Lord Jesus once spoke, and he said to the people, he was saying, speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father will you do. And the way you become a child of God, you're not born a child of God. You have to become a child of God. You have to be born into the family. It's the way you become a member of any family. You have to be born into the family, and you need to be born again if you're going to be a child of God. Otherwise, you're a child of the devil. You're a child of the devil, and you're going to the same place as the devil. You're going to end up in with the devil's reward and the inheritance of the devil if you don't watch out. Men, women, unless you're adopted into God's family, unless you're born into God's family, you're not in it. Has there been that time when you've been born into the family of God? Have you been born again of the Spirit of God? Have you been born from above? And we notice his family is a child of the devil. But then notice his futility. It goes on, and the apostle here speaks of him trying to pervert the right ways of God. Now, of course, that's futile. You know, there are those who seek to pervert the right ways of God, and maybe they get on with that well for a little time, but it's only for a little time. It's a futile thing, men and women, to fight against God. Absolutely futile. You may as well be battering your head against the wall. And you notice what God did to him here in judgment upon him. It says in verse 11, and immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. It says that he was going to be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. The word mist there is a word used by the Greeks sometimes to mean a darkening or a dimming of the eyes. And this man was made blind so that he couldn't stop the gospel. This man, because of his darkened heart, was displayed in his darkened eyes. But you know, even that was tempered with mercy, because it says that he was to be blind for a season. And the judgment here was tempered with mercy for a time. But I want to tell you this, men and women, If Elymas the sorcerer went on the same way as he was going, and there's no indication of any other thing, and he's ended up in a Christless eternity. He's ended up in a Christless hell. And I want you to learn the lesson of that. So here's a man that stands up against God and against the gospel. But we realize at the end of the day, there's no victory, there's no blessing in that whatsoever. He ends up facing the consequences of his sin. But I'm glad this evening that God is able to save the vilest offender. God is able to save those that will come to him. This man was blind and blinded and went down, it seemed, to a Christless eternity. But God can lift up men and women. And there have been those who have been involved in the occult and involved in all sorts of sin. And God has brought them to himself. I'm reading the story. Dr. Kurt Koch, the German expert in sorcery and the occult, and he was speaking about one time that he was in Liberia in Africa, and he was speaking to a 70-year-old man. Now, this man was a sorcerer. He was known as the country devil. He was the president, actually, of the sorcerers in Liberia. And he came to Kurt Koch, and he wanted to speak to him. And the preacher really was uncomfortable even bringing this man into his presence. But the old sorcerer came in, and he immediately said, I want to confess my sins and become a Christian. And he said he began to reveal all the sinful things that he had done. But he had no difficulty in getting down his knees and turning to Christ as his Savior. And he left behind those things that had been his life before. And he turned and found the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And there are many other instances of the same thing. We told you one last Lord's Day of the old Indian medicine man who came and put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. God is able to lift the vilest. And Elymas the sorcerer, if he had listened to the word, could have been saved. Now there he was, standing, resisting the word of God, listening to the Apostle Paul, telling of the way of salvation, revealing to Sergius Paulus and all around the way of life. He might have listened to that word. He might have come and put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But instead he resists. Instead he turns his back upon it. Instead he rejects the way of salvation. Men and women, don't do the same. Don't make that mistake. But seek the Lord Jesus Christ, whom to know is life eternal. And thank God he'll save you. And save you for all eternity. May the Lord write his word upon our hearts. For his name's sake. Let's just bow, please.